Tosfos, that Tosfos referred back to the early Mishnah in the second parak, where the Mishnah says that a katan can't be mutter sarabu midei chavasar rai by Megillah. Tosfos there was mechadesh, the concept of the adurabon and tredurabon. And Tosfos did so to be miyashe, the Mishnah, with the girsa that many Rishonim have, not all Rishonim, the Gemara and Brach. The Gemara says that a ben is mevarech l'olim, that a ben katan, that a minor, to his father with benching. So how come a minor can go to his father with benching? Not all Rishonim have this girsa. The Tosfos has the girsa. The Ramban, that doesn't. So why can a ben be the Motzius of it, but make us a mozar, but a katan can't be Motzius of it, but make us a Megillah? So Tosfos answers as follows. The fact that it's a mozar, the contract is the katan ate kedei sviya, Katan ate a full meal. The father only ate a kazaya. So each of them is just a chadra alone. The father is chayav midu avonah because of the chayav he mentioned in the Torah. You have to eat bachal for the sabata. So the father is doing for that reason. The katan ate kedei sviya. The father only has a couple of sviya. The mitzvah is doing avonah. So the both are chadra avonah. So a chadra avonah. What's a chadra avonah? The bar megillah, the katan is a chadra avonah. A, Megillah is Durabon, B, his whole field is the mitzvah is Durabon, so then they're at an unequal level. The Rambam has a very, very original alternative to how to reconcile those two sugyas. The sugya which says that a ben can be motzias of it with bechas amoza, but that a katan can't be motzias of it with bechas amoza. He certainly doesn't agree with Tosfos' answer, because when the Rambam mentioned the din that a katan can be motzias of it with benching, he doesn't stipulate that the katan had to eat kedei sviya. As long as the gadol only ate a kazayas and the gadol is only durabonon, so then the katan can be motzi the gadol with a benching, and the Rambam doesn't distinguish whether or not the katan ate the sviya or only a kazayas. So mashma, the katan durabonon, tray durabonon is durabonon. We don't count durabonon. Either way, the katan is mukhoyim in durabonon, the gadol is mukhoyim in durabonon. So very equal. So the katan can be motzi the gadol. If a farm would eat today's sviya and be chayav in a Torah, so then the farm would be kosher. But if the cotton, but the father only ate a kazayas, regardless of whether the cotton ate today's sviya or a kazayas, you see that the Rambam doesn't hold chadu avon and tredu avon. It doesn't make a difference. Do avon is daraisa, daraisa, do avon is daravon. What do I care whether the do avon is a common do avon in the bottom? So, Eva Zai, why can't the katan be motzi the gadol with kriyas Megillah? If the Rambam disagrees with this svara that Avot Tosfos mentioned, that they referred to what they had earlier in your test of chadra avon and tredra avon, so why can't the katan be motzi the rabbi with kriyas Megillah? Rambam Gaon points out something fascinating in the Lashon HaSarata. He says sometimes, for instance, in Perikei of the Tukos Brachos Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam says, "Hakatanim chayovim mivek bevekas hamozim mivesof mishdeyam hakatan." And the lashon of the Rambam is, "Hakatanim chayovim mivekas hamozim mivesof mishdeyam hakatan." If you take a look in Parak Aleph of the Tukos Megillah, Zehem and Tavlizman, the Rambam has a But if you take a look at Pargal, Pilchas, and Megillah, where the Rambam says that Mechanchen es Hakanim, because I think that's the Lashon. I believe the Lashon is Mechanchen es Hakanim.
Do you have it on your computer?
I don't know.
Do you have it on your computer?
Take a look at Pargal, Pilchas, and Megillah.
So what's the introduction to the Shamas? In Perikei Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, it's Haktanim Chayovim Birkas Hamazon V'Div Yisof V'Dev
Hakantan. And Megillah Aleph Aleph, it's Mechanchen Es Hakanim V'Kosim. So the Vilna Gaon says that the Rambam inferred from Chazal that Chazal distinguished. In some mitzvahs, they impose the fee of Chinuch on the Kohen. Not only on the frog, but on the cotton as well, and that by virtue of the chi of chinuch, the cotton is also about the yuva. But by some mitzvahs, Chazal only imposed the chi of chinuch on the father. Right? So they only imposed the chi of chinuch on the father. In which case, by those mitzvahs, so then the cotton is mechal not about the yuva. And then it's kafter v'chad. The Mishnah says that a katan can't be rotis around the mechilah. So the implication here is that the katan is not about chiyuva. That's why it can't be motzi. By Birkas Hamazon it says that a katan can be mevarech l'gadol, provided that the gadol is only chayv midrabanan. So vice dice over there, that the chiyuv chinuch is al ha'av as well. Where the Rambam sees it in Chazal, so again, that we know. So for instance, you have also to give another example. In Hilchos Tefillin, so the Rambam says as follows. In Perek Daled HaLevi Yigimel, the lesson of Rambam, he knows how to maintain a good monkey while living tefillah. So the Lashon HaRambam is not really the Lashon HaRambam. It's really the Lashon of the Brisa at the end of the third paragraph in Sukkah, is that Ovid lo kefo tefillin kedei lachan chobu mitzvahs. So again, the Lashon is so conspicuous, right? The Rambam doesn't say, Fatna yodeh lishmo tefillah is chayiv b'tefillin, v'divisofen, but Ovid lo kefo tefillin. By contrast, do you have the Hilchos Lula? I'm not sure where it is exactly. The Hilchos Lula, is just from Zion Press, but the... But in Hilchos Lulav,
So there too, when you look at Sukkah and Beis, when the Gemara gives the shear of chinuch, so by lulav it says katan hayodeh l'naneya chayav lulav. That's the lashon chazal. Katan hayodeh l'naneya knows how to make the nanduim is chayav lulav. When it says by tefillin, it says katan hayodeh lishmo tefillin avid lo kaf lo tefillin. So again, that's what the Gaon says. It's the Rambam. So why is it in one case you involve the father. In the other case, you don't involve the father. Other look at children. Why? Because children's very expensive. How's the kid supposed to buy it on his own? That's true, but that's obviously not the pshat and what the Gemara is telling us. So that's what the Gaon says, that the Rambam inferred from Divrei Chazal that for whatever reason, it's not clear, at least the Gaon doesn't tell us, What criterion Chazal used? What guided them? But Chazal distinguished within mitzvahs. In some mitzvahs, the chiyuv of chinuch is only on the father, in which case the son is not about the chiyuv. In other cases, it's on the son as well. And that's how the Rambam answers Tosfos' stira between Birkas Hamazon and then Megillah.
So what's just, even if you have two Chad Rabbanans against each other, maybe there are different gradations within the Rabbanans. Maybe the Rabbanan of Chinuch is different than the Rabbanan of a regular Rabbanan from Gadol, is that possible?
But Tosfos doesn't, right? Tosfos allows for that. Yeah, in the Chanami, you could have said that the Rabbanan making someone about for you, but it's, rise to the level of someone who's already about the human in the Torah, and the scheme in the Rabbanan is rooted in the source of the rice. In Achanami, but the Tosfos is not like that. In Achanami. Okay, let's go right there. That's just a footnote of the Tosfos. So let's see the Gemara. So my time of Papa Omni Mishim, Papa Rabba Nasim Omni Mishim Vasa Mitzuy. So why are you supposed to be Makabid in the Balanakhia with Sami Mishle? Either Mishim Kabu or Asa Mitzuy. Rashi, Mishim Kabu, Mahabid, and Mate, behold, among the Atman Dorsha and Snoda, taking the Zuba Kabu. So why is that Makhia in the Kabu? So the Ran says, because you can give a cotton mafte. So you can give a cotton mafte, so it's, so it does not, when the total gets mafte, so it doesn't feel like, it feels like it was an inferior kibbutz. So he feels that his feathers are ruffled. So the Rashash talks a little bit and says, but you can give a cotton regularly also. That's what we learned from Kabbalah, right? You can give a cotton regularly also. So why is the Dafke and an inferior, why does that ruffle people's feathers? This is no, we start with what the Ran means, it's fudge by Aliyahs. So the majority of the Aliyahs have to go to Gedolah. So the fact that the majority of Aliyahs of the Shiva Kruah have to go to Gedolah, so that means that it's still an aliyah, it's still a kibbutz that you associate with adults. Masha and Kain, maftir is sort of its own unit, and maftir you can give to a doctor, so it's something that ruffles people's feathers. They feel like they're getting the short end of the stick when they get maftir, not a regular aliyah. So obviously that reaction is a strikeout kind of MLAO. Obviously, we're not supposed to be concerned with those things. So the interesting thing is that Chazal was sensitive to people's feelings, even for feelings. I'm not, if you know that someone's going to be hurt by something, you have to be sensitive to that, even if there's an element of pettiness in the fact that they're going to be hurt by it. So you see that Chazal are concerned with the this issue of cover, and again, that people shouldn't be interested in. Maybe now you even know what's the osim and tsuya. Rashi explains the osim and tsuya is if serving as shliach tzibur is a paid position. So then the Baal Mafter says, why do I get mafter, which doesn't have any mitzvah tzibur, and he gets to be shliach tzibur. So maybe now you even know the other thing. What happens if they don't pay the shliach tzibur? It's not. And before you cut it off, you will not open up your door. Ian was mentioned in Tzuya. A cotton by the Tzuya. A cotton can't fight because he's not allowed to serve a shliach tzibur.
So how can a kohen have a taina? You gave me matzah, you don't let me be baal shachas, you don't let me be baal musaf. He's not allowed to be over the taina. Says the man, but Ellen Marmi should cover it, cut by cover it, when a kohen can be matzah than his cover. No, there's no cover to do that. Other eager for other, but for other, he can eat to you, not to eat to you. So what do we say? We said that the Mishnah said that a katan is covered by total. Again, there's no problem with that. So what happens if it's a katan kofeya? Yeah, we decided a different shot with what part of his body is exposed. So then the Mishnah Machlod is Tanoi, according to the Rabbon, which is how we pass in, so the Summa can be the Chazan, the Baruch of the Vekas Krishna. And the Grotze is a Rabbi Nidei Chavosa, with the drop of Yotze HaMachoros. And according to Rabbi Yudah, he can't. It was common that even with Fatima, that one person would say the Vikas Kriya Shema, and everyone else would be Yotze Yidruvim. It's not like the Ramban, Dushan and Brachas, says that background is what gave rise to a misunderstanding. He says there are people who, after both of Amma Yisrael and Abba, is in Kalbalfin before they begin Shema. So the Ramban, again, the Ramban knew of that minig from the Tzukubas of Rishon, and he says the whole thing is crazy. He says it's a hefsek between Habrocha, Bama, Yisrael, Biyava, and Kriyashma. So he says, where did it come from? So he says, no, what it came from is this. He says, the way things used to be done is that everyone used to be Yotze Vikas Kriyashma with the Chazan. So he says, then, obviously, answering Ome, which was part of being Yotze with the brachas of the chazan, obviously that's not a hefsek. When that's part of your being Yotze, so that's certainly not a hefsek. So what did they do? So instead of saying Ome, they said Kel Malachem for this cheshbon. But that was only when an Ome was wanted. He says, but Stamazai, to say Kamal Naman in between a both of Amr Yisrael B'Yavah and Krishna is a hefsek. So you see just the standard practice was that they used to be Yotzei through the chazan for the biggest Krishna. Okay. So Summa Parashat Tani Amla Rabbi Yehuda. You can visualize something even if you've never seen it. But you read the Hassan, the Hafiz, the Khalil, the Talia, the Hilsa, the what kind of comparison is that? So to the Yehuda, to say the Brach of Yotzeh Haaretz, the Dash of Masim Yaakov, you have to have understanding. And the Summa has never had Hanoah, someone who is a Lavoah Mahoros Miyomek, someone who has no funds from genitally blind, has never had Hanoah. The Rabbanan Islay Hanoah, it's not true. The Summa also has Hanoah from life. Rabbi Yossi, the Sanya, Amr, Rabbi Yossi, the Yaman, he's in the style, because what difference does it make to a blind person or follow? It's not whether it's high noon or whether it's midnight. So the Summa was holding a lantern. So this, you see that the Summa also has a lot from life. So all be like this, all big. You need someone to help you schlep some heavy bags. And the person's very tired, a little bit dehydrated. So he says, I need to take a drink. After I take a drink and refresh myself, I'll be able to help you. So you're going to have time to ask for this drink, so you'll make a shahada. That's what this is what I said, no? So that's obviously crazy, right? There's no such thing. So clearly, obviously, the pshat is as follows. The Brach of Yotzeh Maoros isn't the biggest commandment. The book is Shabbat Lohodo. Elamai, in order to give Shabbat, you can't really adequately give Shabbat for the creation of life if you're not a beneficiary of the creation of life. So in this context, where the requirement of Hanoah is just that you should be positioned to give Sheva, so then indirect Hanoah is also suppressed. Masha and Cain, when the din is that it's a bigger commandment, so when the Gotha is on the Hanoah, so then the Takana brings it in. It's when it's direct Hanoah, not when it's kosher, but that's the Sheva. Maybe, with a capital M, so maybe this would also give us another explanation. So in Shukahara, the Uzza Rua, I saw again on Shabbos, when I was looking at the Makovit Shittas Kamoi, so the Uzza Rua says, based on this Gemara, that a Summa should say, Barin or Yahesh, Behavdal. So it's Gemara, Mali, the Berkha of Yotzah Mali, the Berkha of Barin or Yahesh. We don't pass it. So Menorah, it says, that for Shabbos, by the din of Hanoah, it says that a Summa on the front doesn't say Barim Aresh. So the question is why not? So the Gaon there just says, look in that Teres Zakenim on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch. The Teres Zakenim says because the Brach of Barim Aresh depends upon more than Hanoah, because you have to be so close that you could distinguish one coin from another coin. So you see that it's something more than Hanoah. So there's a higher standard. That's what the Gaon calls on Atharis again. Possibly, you could give an alternate shot. Possibly, but it depends upon a Machlokes HaPosek that we'll reference in a minute or another. The Matbeya Brach of Barim Aresh obviously, it's the same Matveya Abracha, and Bari Kriyadates, Bari Kriyadoma, Bari Kriyadlofen. And then also, as the Gemara says, that in the Barachan Alaner, Adshe Ye Osu La'olo, that you can only make a Abracha, what the words seem to mean,
is that you can only make the bracha b'omer reish if you have hana'ah from the nair. So you talk in the pshat is as follows. Avada, avada, the reason you make the bracha b'omer reish on Motzei Shabbos is, as the Rambam says, because the or was created, fire was created on Motzei Shabbos. All week long, when you put on a light, you don't make a bracha b'omer reish. There is no din of bikkus hanehem, Satan. But we talk that what Hazal said, that Motzei Shabbos, Zecher to the creation of fire, you make it bikkus hanehem on Eish. And that's why the Matbea HaBracha is identical to the Matbea HaBracha that we have for bikkus hanehem. Boker Eish, Boker Adam, Boker Adam, Boker Eish. It's all the same Matbea HaBracha. That on Motzei Shabbos, Zecher to the creation of fire, you make it bikkus hanehem. So if that's the case, and then we would understand why you can't extrapolate from this Gemara to Bel Horeish. In this Gemara, the role of Hana'ah is in order to be able to give Shabbat, you have to be a beneficiary. So there, even indirect Hana'ah is enough. But when you're saying a Birkas Hananin, there has to be direct Hana'ah. So what Machlokes HaPoskim does this Svara depend on? Some poskim say that actually also the oro just means that you have to be close enough to the light that if you wanted to, you could be nehene from the or. The nachmina is that the question of whether you have to turn off the ceiling light when you make up the oro. So obviously, when the ceiling light is going, you're not really having any kind of significant hanoho from the Havdalah candle. It's not really adding anything when the ceiling light is on. So some posts can say that you don't have to turn the ceiling light off, because the din just is, it's a din of the proximity that you have to the Eish. You have to be close enough to the Eish that the light of the Eish reaches you in such a way that if need be, you could distinguish one point from another, but you don't have to actually have another. So clearly, according to those posts, what we just said is doesn't get off the ground, it doesn't begin, it's not true. If you hold no, then really you should turn off the ceiling light. And you're supposed to actually have another from the light, so then there would be room for this explanation. Okay, let's get back to it. So whether it's a deformity of Ahmad Islam, or whether it's just some colored dye which adheres to his hands, assuming that the hands are not camouflaged by the colors. So the hands are camouflaged by the colors, so then the dim is at the bottom. But if the hands are not camouflaged by the colors, if there's a visible mourn or a visible, or again, colored dye that's adhering, so then the use of camouflage, because it attracts people's attention. What's the problem with attracting people's attention? So Rashi says, because the Shechina is showed up in Kishrei Yisrael Seyhan HaKalim. Tosfos in Chagiga's Masik, they say that's only true in the Mikdash, where they were duchet b'shem ha'yufa. But in Bulen, there is no Inyan HaShuas HaShechina ben Kishrei Yisrael Seyhan HaKalim. The problem is Hasakhanas, that the tzibur is supposed to concentrate on the bracha, hearing the bracha, being mekabel the bracha, answering amen on the bracha, and they're going to be distracted because they're going to be looking at this deformity now of the kohen, this form of the kohen. They're going to be looking at the kohen with the red hands. Again, either way, if it's camouflaged by the palace, and it really is, it's a common hand for the palace. So then, according to both the explanations, the dim doesn't apply. Meaning any part of
the body which is exposed during Pegasus has a book of Hamitzvah and a Makomos of Kusach of the Mikvah, so what? That doesn't, it's not a deal with Baal Mom. The Baal Mom can do it. Baal Mom can do it. Baal Mom can do it. It's a deal if it's visible. I'm going to be sure that Levi Yodav Dubakdias, if his hands are spotted, La Yisas Kappa. We have the same rationale. Tanya Nam Yahu Yodav Dubakdias, La Yisas Kappa, Akumos, Rashi says Akumos means bent, Akushos means crooked, La Yisas Kappa. Good. Amr Vasi, Kefani, Yud Bishani, La Yisas Kappa. Coming from Haifa, or from Beishan, can't go from there. Tanya Nami Hofi, Ain't no written on their table, lo anche Beishan, lo anche Beishaifa, lo anche Tironin, and they should call him Ma'alfin Ainen, Ma'ainen Alfin. Rashi, Kohen should be Anshe Kefa and Anshe Beishan with Gamhim and Bilshan. They don't pronounce things well, clearly. And they should call him the Alphan Ayin or Ayin Alphan. Then how you also make a scholar, how you own your heir with an elder, they would pronounce it your heir with a gather of Ayin, Hashem Kohen. But not a problem. The Yesh Panamji is part of the Russian class of Panaye Levo, as Panay, in Yasmutsu, who may Ayan Olsen, who may Ayan Olsen Alfen, who called me on the Vasa.
Thank you.
That's why the Pshita of the Gemara seems to be that it means that they within their phonetic range, they did have an ayin, but for whatever reason, they interchanged the aleph with ayin and the ayin with aleph. It's sort of like someone who's consistent with Ashkenazis, and then sometimes also when it the Dogesh, when even if it's about Ashkenazis, it's supposed to be a top. So then the top is the soft, and the soft is the top. And
there's no tender top. There is no tender top.
Say you live in a community where everyone pronounces the Hebrew a certain way. No one says Maya, no one really says Avigadol, Tess, the Kuli. You live in Galicia, you know, Galiciana, so it's the same Buni, not Boni. So the Achronim have a Yisod that if everyone pronounces it that way, so then it's not a problem. But this Gemara that doesn't apply. This Gemara applies. Someone b'mei Chazal, so elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael, so there used to be there was a clear distinction between Alf and Ayin. It was only in Haifa. So a Kohen from Haifa was visiting in Tel Aviv. He was visiting in Bnei Brak. So then he couldn't do it. But if all the Ashkenazic Jewry pronounces it a certain way, all of the Hungarian Jewry pronounces it a certain way, all of the Polish Jewry pronounces it a certain way, so then that's not a problem. The question is why it's mashma in the Mishnah Berurah that, so just a little bit of a cash in, if you have the territory, it's mashma in the Mishnah Berurah. Most of us don't have an eye. The neighbor, Muta Lisa Kappa. So just it's a little point, but Mishnah Berurah sounds like the reason we have Dukhanim, even though our Kohanim don't distinguish between Ayin and Aleph, is because of this Yisod of Achronim, that when you have a large contingent of, you have a whole locale, and Allah has kind of accounted, it's even a whole country or beyond that, so then it's not a problem. But that's the justification for how we dukhin, even though we don't have an ayin. But the chora, you only need that justification if you make your aleph into an ayin. The fact that you make your ayin into your aleph, if that's your only shortcoming, that should be irrelevant to dukhin. You hear the kasher in our side? Ben, are you with me? The Achronim have the following yisod. That they say that whether your ches sounds like a hey, whether your hey sounds like a ches, whether your ches sounds like a fuck, that all this, as long as it's not your personal shortcoming, your personal idiosyncrasy, but it's something which is the way everyone in that region, in that country, or even beyond, pronounce it. So within that region, within that country, so that there's no problem. Fine, so that's good.
wouldn't you have thought that we, in the Ashkenaz, that the lack of our ayin, you don't even need to invoke that. You just say the fact that we can't pronounce an ayin is irrelevant to Bechus Karmi. But the Mishnah Berurah is not mashma like that. Mishnah Berurah is mashma that it's only by virtue of this shita that the Achronim put forth that we're able to dochen. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to dochen. So, possibly as follows. Possibly, well, what the Mishnah Berurah has in mind. Take a look. The Berurah is relevant to what we're talking about. But possibly the pshat is as follows. Hagam, that there's no ayin, because Kohanim, the fact that we don't pronounce an ayin means every time you have a silent letter. So we create an ambiguity whether that's an aleph or an ayin. So because of that, when we say the word yo'er, so when a Sephardi says the word yo'er, so you know it's an aleph, because if it was an ayin, so you would hear the ayin. But when an Ashkenazi says Yair, you don't know. Maybe it's Yud Aleph Resh you say. Maybe it's Yud Aleph Resh that you say. So you talking that that's why even we need to invoke this Magen Avraham and the Udi Imei that Asher mentions to allow us to dochen. That's not how it. Now the Gufa Shel Inyan. Moshe has a tshuva in the Or Chaim Chelek Yimel where he says that all the different pronunciations of Hebrew, Hungarian, Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Lin Sephardim, obviously there are many differences also. The Ashkenazim, we think it's all the same, but it's not true. Jew from the Tehman, what he thinks about how a Syrian Jew pronounces, he hears the differences the way we hear Hungarian and Polish and Galicia. But Moshe says, they all have a din of Lashon HaKadosh. They all have a din of Lashon HaKadosh. He says, how do I know that? The Let's say you have a Yavama who can't say Lo Ocha Yavmi. Let's say you have a Yavama who's not capable of pronouncing his words in the process of chalitza. So then the apostle of chalitza. So Moshe says, Lo shemanu me'olam, that Sephardim can't recognize a chalitza that was done by Ashkenazi. Lo shemanu me'olam, no one has ever said in the history of Halacha, no one has ever said that if you come from an Eidah, which has one Havara, that the chalitza of every other, all the other Eidos, which have different Havarot, is going to be possible for you. So Al-Kochach, he says, if you would have said such a thing, Yimzu shechalitza shel Sephardim sulas l'didan, v'chalitza shelonu posul l'Sephardim, lo matzina dover kazah. No one ever said it. No Risha, no Akron. No one ever said such a thing. V'lachein mashma sh'shtei ha-havaros k'sherim. The question is, how is that? Why should that happen? What's the basis for that? Especially as Rivosha goes on to say, we obviously know that the way, let's talk about ourselves, let's talk about Ananas. We obviously know that the way Ashkenazi pronounce Rosh HaKodesh, that's not the way we pronounce Rosh HaKodesh. And the fact that our Reish sounds suspiciously like an English Arab is not coincidental. So it's quite obvious that and it's true, Moshe writes it in us. It's obvious that
in different Jews in different areas, so they were influenced by the phonetics of whatever the vernacular was in that country, and that affected their pronunciation, Lashon HaKodesh. So why does that have a din of Lashon HaKodesh? It doesn't matter with the Sfaradim, it just brings a raya that Al Koch, if you see the post hold like that. The Lachor Yitoche, the Pshad is as follows. That there is a very fascinating there is a fascinating Rambam in Kershav Shnayis and in Trumas. The first Shnayis and Trumas talking about Chamisha Lo Yitroma, and the five who can't be Mafresh Truma. So the verb, the way the Mishnah presents the verb is Lo Yitroma. The Rambam says, some people say that this is corrupt language. Because if you look in the Chumash, it should be Chamisha Lo Yogrimu. Right? It's Kol Nevim Trumas. The verb is Loharim. So it should have been Chamisha Lo Yogrimu. What's this Lo Yitroma? The noun is Truma. Because often when you want to make an abstract noun, so you put a Tof in front of the Shorish. So there's a verb lahanif, so the abstract noun is tenufa. There's a verb laharim, so the abstract noun is teruma. But the verb is laharim. So when you put it into the future, it should be chamisha lo yavim, not chamisha lo yitrom. So he says that people taina that chazal, that their language is correct. So the Rambam says that's absurd. So you're sitting here. Your mama Loshen is Arabic, and you're sitting here in Spain, and you're telling Chazal, living in Eretz Yisrael, how to speak Hebrew. He says, what kind of shtus is that? He says, you can't tell the Baalei HaLoshen how to speak. So, Elamai, language is developed. Language is developed. Originally, the form of the verb was L'Harim, not Litrom, but the language developed because of the abstract noun of Truma, so then that developed, it evolved, and then the Baalei Loshon began saying the Trom, not only the Harim, but the Trom as well. So you see clear that the Rambam is telling us that languages are not static, that languages develop, languages evolve, and that's legitimate, that's part of language. The Pasha says it's in that context that you have to understand this. Again, Rabosha doesn't tell us what he thinks the conceptual framework is, but the Pasha says that's the conceptual framework for this tshuva of Rabosha. So the same way something can develop in terms of, again, we're talking about a different development. We are applying what the Rambam says in Perush Mishnayos. But the same way the Rambam says it's pure Hebrew. It's not a corruption of Hebrew. It's pure Hebrew to say Chamisha Lo Yitroma. Hagam, if you would say it in Tanakh Hebrew, you'd say Chamisha Lo Yorimu. But it's pure Hebrew because the language develops. So the same way the language can develop in that way, the language can develop in terms of changing pronunciation as well. And if you have, okay, so it doesn't mean that I can make up my own pronunciation. It has to be a large group, it has to be a whole community. It has to be a segment of Klal Yisrael. It can't be my idiosyncrasy. But languages can develop. The Pasha says, and the Emma says, if you take a look in the back of the Frankel Rambam, so they quote from the Chalkas Yoav, that you see this Yisod in the Magen Avraham already, and all the Achronim and Al Sugya. Because the mission says in the Sota, the biggest component has to be the Lashon HaKodesh. Birkas Kohanim in the Elam, the mission beginning the seventh parak has the list. Elam Ne'eron B'chol Loshon, and Elam Ne'eron Dafke B'Loshon HaKodesh. So Birkas Kohanim, Ko Sebarchu, is one of those things. That's Dafke B'Loshon HaKodesh. So what do you mean that even if you call a Chesah Hayah Hayah Chesah, even if you call an Aleph and Ayin and Aleph, as long as all the Anshei HaMakom do it that way, there's no problem duchening, but that's not Loshon HaKodesh. So vice versa, no, the Magen Avraham already says what Rav Moshe said. The classical Avraham already said this was so, that whenever you have a segment
a community within Klal Yisrael that has a certain pronunciation, so that that pronunciation is considered a pronunciation of Lashon HaKodesh, of Lashon HaKodesh, even though we know very well that that's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu said and how Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the Aseres HaDibros at Har Sinai.
Then it's even apply when you're somewhere else.